Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shem and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Rabbi Metzia Daf Kuf Yod Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. And the next piece that we're going to deal with all the way until the Mishnah will be about counterclaims, which side is the more muchzak, such that the other one has to prove his point. Hahushtara. This, as we will learn, is a shtar mashkanta. The Vektiv Beis Shanin Stama just said that this field is mumushkan for years, and it doesn't say how many. Now, the minimum, of course, is two. Malve Omer Shalosh, which really is not the obvious claim. Lo Ve Omer Shtaim, he wants his field back after 2 years. Kadim Malve Vachlin Le Perid. But now the new twist is that the Malve went ahead and ate the perot of the third year. Mineman. So now, do we force the Malve to prove his point and otherwise take it away from him? Or the opposite. Rav Yehuda Amar Karka B'chezket Ba'aleh HaKaima. The Karka belongs to the owner, which is the Lova, which means the Malva has to prove his point. Yes, but the Perot are B'chezket, the one who eats them, meaning the Malva, and the Lova has to prove it was only a 2-year Mashkanta. Rav Kahana, to Amar Perot B'chezket Ochlein Kaimi. And that's the Halacha. But we know that halacha is like Rav Nachman, that karka is always becheskat baleha. So therefore, anyone claiming land has got to prove that it really is his. The answer is hat to milta lo avida ligluiha he. In a case where we're never going to really find out whose it is, so it's becheskat baleha. But here, hacha milta avida ligluiha. Here is something that's eventually going to be clarified. And therefore, atchuchu beidina trezim lo matachinim. There's no reason to trouble beit din twice. Meaning in this case, to take the perot away from the malve, give it to the lova, and then once the malva proves that it really was a 3-year mashkanta, to get it back is just too much work. It doesn't make any sense. So therefore, just leave it be, and then when the dust settles, that's how we'll deal with it. Okay, next case. Malva omer chamesh, lova omer shalosh. Again, we're talking about a mashkanta, and the malva says that the land was to be his for 5 years, and the lova says it was to be there for 3 years. Now, amrale aiti lishtarach. So the lova says, show me your star that it's 5 years, meaning that the loan is the amount that it's 5 years would eat it up. This is the mashkanta de sura. Amrale shtar yichasli. The malva says, I lost the star. I'm Rav Yehuda Malvin Eman. We believe him anyways. Why? Migo di boy, I'm alakuchai v'yadi. He could turn around and say, it's my property. I bought it. The fact doesn't say that. It gives him the amount to say you have 2 more years. I'm Rav Papa Ravashi. So if Papa turned to Ravashi and said, Rav Zvid v'Rav Avir lo sfir lahu de Rav Yehuda. These two great Amoraim did not agree with Rav Yehuda. My Tama, Hai Shtara came into the Guvainakai, Mizhar Zahir Bey. He said, since this shtar that the Malva has, he's using for collecting, therefore, we know he'll be very careful with it. And therefore, it's not likely that he lost it. We have to assume that he's hiding it, claiming it's lost. Claim saying, okay, and now I can have 2 more years on the field. So, Amar Avinu Ravashi, Elamiata, Hai Mashkanta de Surah, the Katvi Achim, Mishlam Shanaya, Ilay, and Tipuk Ara Dabal Ochsaf, in the case of Mashkanta de Surah, in which you just say, when these years are over, and you put the amount of years, then the field leaves, I don't owe you anything, you don't owe me anything. So let's say there was a mashkanta de surah, the guy hid the shtar and claims that he bought the property, we're going to believe him? In other words, your whole migo rests on the idea that if a guy claims the property I'm sitting on is mine, we believe him. So remember, the mashkanta of the surah was a takana made for the benefit of the lova, so that instead of paying up a loan, he could just let his property pay off the loan. But you think the rabbanon would establish a takana that could lead to theft in this way? Amalei. So his answer was, "Hatam tkinu le rabbanon demare ara yaiv tasko beuv karikaria." The rabbanon were talking that in the case of mashkanta de surah, the owner, meaning the lova, has to pay the tax and dig the trenches around the boundary of the property, which means he's demonstrating ownership on a regular basis. So therefore, the other guy can't claim it's mine. So ara leit lakari v'loyaiv taskamai. What happens if he doesn't pay the tax or doesn't have to pay the tax? Let's say it doesn't need a trench dug around. In other words, there's no way for him to show ownership on a regular basis. Hamalei ba'ilei m'mchuyah. This we're going to see in Cheskas Abatim, that when somebody else is on your property, either they're there legitimately for a time or else they've strong-armed their way, you have to go and make a protest to demonstrate that you really own the property on some sort of regular basis. So this guy, this lova with the mashkanta de surah, has to go and protest and say, that's my property. Not protest, but just make a formal declaration. So loim chimai, what if he doesn't do so? So iu, then afsiran afshe. The answer is he lost for himself. He should have made the protest if he didn't have the tax or something else to prove his ownership. Okay, third case. Aris omer lemechzer ativ, v'alabai omer l'shlisha ativ. The Aris says, I came to the property to split 50%. V'alabayit says, no, our deal was two-thirds, one-third. I get two-thirds. Mineman. So Rav Yehuda Amar Balabayit Neman. He says, we always believe the Balabayit. Rav Nachman Amar Hakol Kamin Haga Medina, which doesn't seem to be a direct confrontation with Rav Yehuda. Hakol Kamin Haga Medina, it all follows the Minhag. So Sovra Mina in the Beit Midrash, they thought, Lo Pligi, the Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman are not disagreeing. Ha Ba'atu Deshakil Arise Palga, in a case where the Aris takes half, they think Rav Yehuda would agree that that the Balabayit, that he's believed. And in the case where the in a place where they norm in the place where the minig is 2/3, 1/3, then Balabayit Naman. Amarlahu Rav Mari brought the Ratchmuel, Hachi Amar Abai. He says, no, Abai said differently. Afilu ba'atra de shakal arisa palga pligi. Even in a case where the aris normally takes half, and the aris says half, and the balabait says 2/3, 1/3, the balabait, according to Yehuda's Neman. Yehuda Amar balabait Neman, why? Diboy Amar schir elikitihi. He could say, this guy is not even an aris. This guy is some sort of hired worker that I got to come harvest the field. And he wouldn't get anything. He would get wages, but he wouldn't get any sort of a percentage of the yield. So therefore, since he has that migo, we believe him when he says it was only a third, even against the minhag medina. You tell me, Momrim, Anu Ish Bachman. This is talking about karka that's seized by Balchov, and the karka, the Balchov was their father, and the Balchov, for right now we're assuming, only has claim to the property that the father, that as it was, and that the father improved. But if after the father died, the heirs improved the property, that improvement's theirs. So Balachov and so the Balachov says, your father did the improvements, and therefore I'm seizing the entire thing. And they told him, say, no, we did the improvement. Almila viraya. Again, who has to bring the raya? So Sav Rabbi Chanina lemeimar arbeches kidyat mikayma. And Rabbi Chanina said that the land is in the chazaka of the heirs, which means he has to prove that the improvements were made beforehand. So an old man said, Rabbi Yochanan, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan directly on point said that the Yotomim have to bring the proof that they improved the land. My Tama, what's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning? Ara came to the Guvaina Kaima, since this land was set for collection, Kamanda Gavya Dami. And this is a concept that we see throughout Shas in many contexts, but not universally, which is that when an item has an inevitable and immediate destiny, we consider it as already having reached that position. So therefore, since this land was slated for collection, we consider it already collected, and therefore, who's the Muchzak, the Balchov? Hayatomim Laviraya. Rabbi Av Anana Mitanina. So Abaye says in Babbatra, on the second parak, we have support for this notion, and that is when we have a tree that is planted within 50 amot of the city, and it's a tree that needs to be cut down, and the question is, was the city there first or this owner there first? Meaning it's a tree that's going to be cut down, so you cut down the tree anyways. Why? Alma came into the Mekatz Kaima, since it's going to be cut down. We tell the guy, you bring a raya, in other words, you cut it down in any case, and we say, you bring a raya that the tree was yours, and then we'll pay you for it, otherwise you don't get money. Chanami, hai shtara, same thing with the shtar, came into the Guvaina Kaima, it's going to be collected, command the Gavya Dami, we consider it already collected, the Balchov is the Muchzak, Hatumi Aviraya. Now, second thing is, Aitu Yatmi Raya, Dinu Shash Bahu. Let's say that Yitomim did bring the Raya. Rabbi Chanina has been rejected already, once, and the Muchzak is the Balchov. Let's say Yitomim brought a Raya that they did the improvements. Sav Rabbi Chanina Lemeimar, so he thought the same in Kim Salkinan Lu, Pa'ar Misalkinan Lu. He thought, so the Balchov then has to give them a piece of the land worth their improvements. Velohi, that's not the case, Bedam Misalkinan Lu. We actually, pay them off with money. Midor of Nachman. Why? Damar of Nachman or Shmuel. Shlosha Shemin Lahen Atashavach. There's three circumstances where somebody owes somebody else, and we estimate what the improvement that the one who's going to get paid put in, but it's improvement on land. Umalino Tam Bedamim, but you pay them with money, not with land. Ve'iluhen. Bechor LePashut. When there's a split of the Yerusha, and the Bechor and the Pashut together improve the land, then when they split the land and the Mechor gets his extra chelek, he estimates the value that the Pashut put into the appreciation and pays him with money. Ubalchov, Uktubat Yishal Liyitomim. That's exactly our case. A balchov, or of the father, or the ktuva of the almana, who collect land from the heirs. If the heirs did the improvement, then they pay them with money, not with land, but you estimate the land improvement. Balchov lelukuchot. That's the last one we have to look at. A balchov pays the lukuchot. Now remember, you've got a balchov and lukuchot, there's three players. There's a creditor, a debtor, and a buyer. The buyer bought land from the debtor. The creditor now comes to the debtor, doesn't have money, land to collect from, doesn't have money, so he goes to the purchaser, takes the land, and then the purchaser, if he has a chayut, hopefully he does, comes back to the debtor and tries to get his money back. Now, what happens if the purchaser improved the land after he bought it, and so the Baal Chov, at this point we assume, can only take the value of the land as it was when it was sold, and therefore we say that he seizes the entire land, but the appreciation he has to pay back in coin. But this is all Torah Shmuel. So now watch this. Some of the Ravina Ravashi, the member of the Sefer Shmuel, Baal Chov Lekuchot, which Shmuel holds that the Baal Chov pays Lekuchot anything. Since when does Shmuel say that the Lokeach gets any Shevach? From a Shmuel, Baal Chov, go vet a Shevach. Shmuel's ruling is that the Baal Chov collects everything, including the Shevach. And Lekuchot have nothing. They have to come back to the owner and sue him for the original purchase price and the Shevach. So you're going to try to answer that the solution is that Shmuel says, when do we give the Baal Chov everything? When it's Shevach Sheinu Magia L'Ktifayim, when it's Shevach that's still in the ground, stuff that's still growing, but Shevach that reaches the shoulders, meaning stuff that's ready to be harvested, that the Lokach gets to keep. We know that Shmuel regularly rules that the entire field goes to the Baal Chov, even Shevach that's ready to be harvested. So the answer is Lokash, Adamasik Be Kashir Ara Vishivcha, Hadamasik Be Kashir Ara Vishivcha. It's a very simple solution. If the loan is the value of the land plus the Shevach, then the Baal Chov collects everything, and the Lokach has to go back for everything. But if, on the other hand, the value of the loan is the original value of the land, and not the shevach, then the Baal Chov has to pay the shevach back to the lokeach. Do you have a lokeach? So you're saying that when the value is only of the land and not the land plus the shevach, so you're saying he pays the lokeach. So Hanech Lamanda Ma'id Lezuzi Lokeach Lomatzim Masalik Leila Baal Chov Shapir. That's only according to the Manda Amar that says that when a Baal Chov comes to Lokeach to seize his property because the debtor defaulted, and if Lokeach has money, the Lokeach cannot push him off and say, take the money, here's your loan paid up, leave my land alone. But according to the Mandamar that says that if he does have money, he can pay the Baal Chov and get him out of there. If I had the money, I would have taken you out of the land. Now, if I don't have the money, then why should the Baal Chov be able to pay him off with money? The Lokeach should be able to say, listen, if I had the money, I could keep you away from the whole land. Now that you owe me some, give me some land. So the answer is, you're right. But Hachamaskin going to Shav Yeniel Aputiki. We're talking about a case where the land was made in Apotiki. Damale lo yelach piron elamizu. Apotiki means the land was assigned for collection, and the collection can only come from this land, and therefore the Baal Chov gets to keep the entire land and pays the Lokeach with money. Otherwise, you're right, he should be able to give him, be able to claim land. Okay, the next Mishnah. Makabal sadam mechaveru l'shavua achad b'shev shvamiot zuz. Hashviit min haminyan. Kibla imenu b'sheva shen b'shevamiot zuz. Ein hashviit min haminyan. So here we're dealing with an issue that we're familiar with from Hilchot Shabbat, and that is an issue of havlah. And that is that if you... This, by the way, is Mishnah Yod, and you're going to see that this is really the end of a series, even though the editor puts Yod and Yod Aleph together in our volumes. And that is that if you lease land for a Shavua, which means a septad, a seven-year piece, then, and for whatever the rent is, 700 zuz, whatever, which would be easy to say, that's 100 zuz per year. Nonetheless, Shemitah is included even though he can't work the land. But if on the other hand, the way they worded it was 7 years for 700 zuz, then I'm in a stream in a minyan, because then you're clearly making each year, and it almost goes back to what we saw in the previous parak about rental per month or per year, and with the Ibrior, Here, Shemitah doesn't count, and you get 7 full years of work, and Shemitah just is a bubble. Now, the next Mishnah is the one that we're going to focus on, Schir Yom Govek HaLaila. Now we're going to deal, from here to the end of the Perek, with a set of Isurim of not paying employees at the proper time. And you see on the page the psukim, the keep psukim, Schir Yom Govek HaLaila. Somebody who works during the day has all night to collect, and must be paid by morning. Schir Laila Govek HaLayom. Somebody who works at night can collect all day, and must be paid by the end of the day. Schir Sha'ot, what if somebody's hired for certain hours? Govek kol halayla v'chol hayom. He can collect all night and all day. We'll see how this plays out. Schir Shabbat, Schir Chodesh, Yer Schana, Schir Shavua. If the work is for longer than that, week, month, year, 7 years, Yatzah b'yom, govek kol hayom, Yatzah b'layla, govek kol halayla v'chol hayom. If he finishes employment during the day, he has the whole rest of the day. If he finishes at night, he has that night and the next day. Now, by the way, this doesn't mean that if he doesn't collect on time, you owe him nothing. It just means as far as the particular Isurim go and several other things that we're going to see in the next podcast. But we'll start now. Tanu Rabbanan, minayim l'schir yom shkovek kol halayla. How do we know this principle that a schir yom can collect all night? Tamud lomar lo talin pulatz yitzachir itcha ad boker. You can't have the work, the wages stay with you all night until morning. That's to the employer. How do we know that a night worker collects all day? You have to pay him during the day. So now you have a pasuk in Vayikra, pasuk in Dvarim, which give sort of similar but split presentations about when it has to be paid. So Ve'ema Yipcha, so who said that the first pasuk is talking about a schir yom and the other one's schir laila? The answer is Schirut is always paid at the end. So therefore, if you're a day worker, your day is over, you're done working, then you can't collect during the day, and you can collect earlier because Schirut isn't paid off till you've done the job. This, if you recall, was a discussion we had in Kiddushin and earlier in Bar Metziah about the nature of Schirut. We're taking the position that Schirut Enem Shtalam Etel Vasof, and it's only when you finish a job that the wages are earned. From the fact that the pasuk in Vayikra says you cannot have the wages stay over with you, don't I understand that that's till morning, to lay over, to lodge with you? Why does it say till morning? That the only time you violate that prohibition is when the first morning comes and you didn't pay him. Mikan ve'elachmai. So what happens afterwards? You didn't pay him then, and you're obstinate. You're not violating anything anymore? So Amarav over mishum bal tashe. You violate something which we're referring to as bal tashe. You're not allowed to hold on to the wages. Problem is that there's no mention in the Torah of a violation like that. So Rav Yosef comes to Rav's aid and says, what's a supporting pasuk that gives this idea that you're not allowed to hold on to somebody else's wages? Don't tell your friend, come back tomorrow and I'll pay you, when right now you have the money. So in other words, you have to pay as soon as the claim is made. Alright, let's say that a fellow says to another guy, go hire some workers for me, a headhunter. We see neither one of them could violate Baal Talin. Why? The employer didn't hire them. The other one, the work is not happening in his house, because the pasuk says, how does this work? If the headhunter said, I'll pay you, then he does have to pay them, and then he violates Baal Talin. Remember, we have this case. If you hire somebody to work in your property, and you mislead them and show them another fellow's property, you have to pay him full. Then you can go back to your neighbor and say, how much did you benefit? I'll pay you that. So, therefore, if the headhunter said, I'll pay you, then he is chayiv. So, lo tzricha da'amar lehu schachem ha-balabayit. If he said, the balabayit will pay you. Alright, so Baal Bayit didn't hire them, and he's not liable for paying them. Nobody's violates. So now we see a few cases where Chachamim sort of use this. Yehuda bar Merema amar leh l'shameh. So he told his servant, Zil agrili po'alim, go hire workers for me. Ve'emalu, and tell them, Schachem al Baal Bayit, that the Baal Bayit, is going to pay you. And therefore, neither one of us violates it. Reimar Marzutra Agri Ladadi. They would go and hire on behalf of each other. So Amar Rabba and says Chachama Balabait. Amar Rabba Bravuna, Hani Shukoi de Sura lo Avi Mishum Baltalin. These people who work on the Shuk and Sura never violate Baltalin. Why? May the Yadi Dal Yom Reshuk Asmichi. Everybody knows that they're waiting for Yom Hashuk. Amishum Baltashem Vaday Over. But so everybody knows they're waiting for Yom Hashuk, which means that nobody expects to get paid the next day because they know the fellow doesn't have the money until he sells the goods that these people harvested or did some work for. And so therefore, there's no Bal Talin. There is Bal Tasher, the thing that we mentioned earlier, of course, because you have to pay somebody. Okay, the next thing in the Mishnah said, Tzchir Sha'ot Kovek Laila V'Chol Hayom, that an hour worker can collect all night and all the next day. So Amar Rav, Schir Sha'ot Yom Govek Kol Hayom, Schir Sha'ot Laila Govek Kol Laila. Rav read it differently. He said if you're working for hours during the day, you collect the rest of the day. If you're working for hours during the night, you can collect the rest of the night. Ushmuel Amar, in other words, he says the same, the Bal Talin hits at sunrise or sunset, depending when you were working. Ushmuel Amar, Schir Sha'ot Yom Govek Kol Hayom. He agrees with Rav, and not the way that the Mishnah seems to say. But Schir Sha'ot Laila, if you're working at night, Govek Kol Laila V'Chol Hayom, you can collect the rest of the night and all the next day. Now, Tanan Schir Sha'ot Govek Kol Laila V'Chol Hayom, but the Mishnah says that an hour, or somebody who's working per hour, can collect all night and all day. So Tiyuv to the Rav. The truth is, it's also half a Tiyuv to the Shmuel, but Rav's really on the hot seat here. I'm the Harav, so Rav says, let's study in Tani. It's a distributive statement. Meaning, Schir Sha'ot Yom, Govek Kol Hayom, Schir Sha'ot Laila, Govek Kol Laila. Now, let's see if this works. Tanaya, Sachir Shabbat, Sachir Chodesh, Sachir Shana, Sachir Shavua. So at the end of the Mishnah, we said, if you have a longer term of employment, Yotzei Bayom Govek Kol Hayom. If you leave during the day, your employment is over during the day, you collect all day. Yotzei Balayla, Govek Kol Halayla. If it's at night, you collect all night, V'Chol Hayom, and the next day. Alright, so Rav here cannot say that this is distributive. Amal HaRav Tanoihi. Rav says, okay, my position is a machloka Tanaim, and I take the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Not a bad position to take. Tanya, Schir Sha'ot Yom, Govek Kol Hayom, Schir Sha'ot Laila, Govek Kol Laila, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Schir Sha'ot Yom, Govek Kol Hayom, Schir Sha'ot Laila, Govek Kol Laila, V'Chol Hayom. Exactly like our Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon is our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is certainly a good opinion, and Rav is subscribing to it. Mikan Amru, so Mikan Amru is a more general statement. Anybody who holds on to wages, doesn't pay, violates five lavin ve'asein, one asay. Mishum balta ashok et re'acha, don't oppress your fellow. Mishum baltigzol, it's theft, because you'll see, we're going to see this in the next passage, that the pasuk that says, lo tashok et re'acha ve'lo tigzol, lo talin pluat sachir, so they read la'ashok and ligzol contextually within the issues of paying for work. Mishumbal tashok sachir ani. There's another prohibition of oppressing a worker who's poor. Umishum bal talin. Umishum biyaboti tin tzchero. That's the asay that you have to pay him on time. Umishum lo tavo alav hashemesh, that the sun can't set with you not paying him. Now, problem is, some of these yisurim are only during the day for work day workers. Some are only for night workers, as we saw at the beginning. So how can, there's no situations where you could violate all five laws in the one asay, in one circumstance. Right, he says, you're right. What we mean is, schirut in general carries with it these five prohibitions in one asay. Alright, ezu oshek ve'ezu gezel. So in the pasuk, lo tashok re'acha ve'lo tigzol, what's the difference between oppression and theft within the context of not paying your employees? So I'm Rav Chista, lech v'shuv, if you tell the guy, come back tomorrow, I'll pay you tomorrow. So oshek, that's harassment. I have the money, but I'm not going to pay you. That's gezel. And it's in your face. So Matkif Rav Shesh. Rav Shesh disagrees. He says, Ezu Oshek Shechivalav Torah Korban. In the last pasuk on the page where the Torah said, if you deny a case involving Oshek under oath, you have to bring the Korban. The same thing as Shuas and Pikadon. So do me the Pikadon. It says Oshek and Pikadon. The kakafale mamona. It has to be like in Pigadon where you're denying some financial debt. It's the same thing with oshek. It can't be come back tomorrow. It has to be you have to be denying something. So the word oshek has to mean not just harassment. Avsheshit netativ lach, if you says, I paid you zeh oshek. Meaning I paid you already, and he's lying. Yesh tachab yadim enatem lach, I have it, but I'm not going to give it to you zeh gezel. All right, matkif l'abaye. Abaye says, wait a second. Ezu gezel shechiv alav Torah korban. Think about this. When the Torah says, again, in the last pasuk, that you're chayev asham gzelot for denying gazel under oath, do me the pikon, right? And again, it has to be like a pikon, and the kakar for le mamar, that you're denying a debt. You're not saying I stole something from you and I won't pay you back. Say I didn't steal. Ela Amar Abaye, what is gezlan oshek? Lo schartichah me'olam zeh oshek. If you say I never hired you, that's oshek. Netativ lach, I hired you and I paid you, zeh gezel. So in both cases, you're denying a debt. You're not saying come back tomorrow. You're not saying I have but I won't pay you. It's got to be a case of denial of debt. The question is, Abaye we understand, and Rav Chisda we understand, because Rav Chisda wasn't concerned with the denial of debt, with the word oshek and gezel meaning the same thing in Vayikra He as it means in Vayikra Yutet. We understand Abaye, who says it does have to be the same thing. Rav Shesh is a little strange because he insists that Oshek has to mean the same thing, but not Gezel. So Rav Shesh, Mashta Oshek to Kashele, Mashta Gezel to Kashele. So Malacha Gezel, the Gazle Bahada Kafre. The Gezel means you stole it and then you denied the debt. So therefore, in our case, the Gzela could be, I'm not going to pay you. And then later on you deny that you did that. So why don't we say that Oshik is also where you say, I told you, come back tomorrow, and then you deny you did that. So, that's a noun. Meaning that originally he's admitting his hodah is about what he originally did, not that he did the gezel, and then he's being kofir. He's being kofir the gezel. It's not a noun. O ashak mean iktiv. It's the perfect verb. He had oppressed. Shashakokvar. So therefore, it has to be that he had already done something bad. Okay, Rav Amar, Rav disagrees with the whole question of Rav Chisda. He says to his father-in-law, Zeu Eshe Oshek Vezeu Gezel. They're the same thing. Lama Chilkana Katuv, Avor Labishnei Lavin. The Torah divided them into Lo Tashok and Lo Tigzol in order to make sure that there were two different Lavin that you violate when you don't pay your workers on time. Along with the Baltalin, etc. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.